Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Diamonds are forever!
Woo! Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
8:07 the time, hour number two here on Sports 56 Mornings. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Zach Boyd with you from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, where family and fun come together, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. It's the Friday, April 26th, 2024 edition, getting you set for the sports weekend. Hope your early Friday morning is off to a great start. If you are heading out in the next few moments, about 61 degrees currently, it will rise to 83 today. A mixture of clouds and sun during the morning will give way to mostly cloudy skies in the afternoon, but only a 2% of precipitation, 2% chance. Tonight, 68 degrees for a low, so it's going to be quite warm your Friday evening with cloudy skies. Then the weekend, sun with a little bit of clouds both days and a high temperature in the mid-80s. Hour two of the program brought to you each and every day by James Gattis Jewelers. They are your family's jeweler. They're located at 4900 Poplar between Mendenhall and St. Nick and on the web at GattisJewelers.com. Mother's Day is right around the corner. Graduation presents. It's always a good option to go with jewelry. And James Gattis Jewelers has the variety for you. They also bring you each and every Monday and Friday the Memphis Sports Fact. Did you know 24-year-old former Memphis Tiger and Arlington High School product Hunter Goodman hit a three-run home run in yesterday's come-from-behind win for Colorado over San Diego 10-9? It was Goodman's first start since being called up just the day before. Last season, with his call-up to the Colorado Rockies, Goodman hit two home runs in limited time. So he hits a dinger in his first start of 2024. Again, James Gattis Jewelers, 4900 Poplar Avenue between Mendenhall and St. Nick, and on the web at GattisJewelers.com. All right, we've been talking a lot about the NFL draft and still want to wrap up a few things from round number one. If you got some thoughts, you can hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. So again, the start of it was pretty much true to form. Then we had some moves, and the Michael Penix Jr. is still one that has startled the football world. When you throw in the fact that he's had two ACL injuries, he's had shoulder problems, although I think he's really, really good. He's a competitor. But you, if you're Atlanta, pick up a guy who now joins a team that has a quarterback in Kirk Cousins, who you just signed for 4 years. I don't know if he'll go 4 years, but you have him at least under contract for 4 years. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but as I said on the show yesterday, that was the rumblings that they were going to go Michael Penix Jr. So that was really the first kind of wrench that was thrown into the draft. As we mentioned, Minnesota moved up. They got their guy in J.J. McCarthy. But what we did not see was a defensive player selected in the top 14 picks. With the 15th pick, we finally had our first defensive player.
Yeah, it's it's crazy to think that it would go that long without a defensive player pick. But you know, there we talked about the over under for the top 10 was a half. There was a lot of thought that it wouldn't happen in the top 10, and then it just continued to go. And even then, it's a little bit of a surprise as to that Dallas Turner wasn't that guy. But yeah, it's normally there's that dominant edge rusher or dominant shutdown corner that's just automatically going to be a top 10 pick. And just there wasn't that guy. And then when all the quarterbacks started flying, I mean, the fact that six quarterbacks go in the top 12 is ridiculous. Like, the Broncos taking Bo Nix at 12, again, makes no sense. Like, you could have traded down. You probably could have traded out of the first round and gotten Bo Nix.
Well, let me ask you, do you think there's that much of a difference in the potential of Bo Nix and the potential of Spencer Rattler?
No.
Right. So if you're Denver.
But Denver apparently loved Bo Nix. So, because apparently Sean Payton sees Drew Brees in him, whatever.
Yeah, I guess if you fall in love with a player.
But you don't, like, it's one thing to love, like, you still don't have to take them way earlier than they should go. Like, you could get him later. Trade down. Get extra picks. That's the part that I don't get. Like that, you know. And I assume the Vikings they must have been thinking somebody else was going to trade with the Jets to get J.J. McCarthy.
Absolutely.
At 10.
They had to have been thinking.
But I don't know who they thought that was going to be. And they didn't give up much to move up that one. The other trade the Vikings made to move up.
To get Turner.
Like that's the Vikings have 3 picks in next year's draft.
They have a first rounder and, what, 2 fifth rounders?
Yeah. I mean, they're like, I don't.
You have to stockpile some picks somewhere. I don't know what else you're going to do.
So, like, that one, again, Dallas Turner may turn out to be really good for them, but, like, they gave up a lot to move up to get him in that situation. And I just don't know if that type of price is worth it in that situation. Because, again, the Vikings, when you have a rookie quarterback, chances are you're not going to be really good next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, to not have your second and third round picks for next year, like, that seems very costly.
What did you think of your Cowboys moving down, taking Tyler Guyton?
I was not surprised at all that they moved down because there wasn't that obvious pick amongst the offensive linemen there, I don't think. So I figured that might be a case that they would move down. And Graham Barton, the center out of Duke, was a possibility since they lost their center, but I thought them with the opportunity to pick up some extra picks and still get one of those guys did not surprise me whatsoever.
I love the Rams pick of Jarrett Verse at 19.
I just love Jarrett Verse. I mean, that dude I just think is I'm amazed by how he was at Albany to begin with, but he has a lot of talent, and he has a, I think, could end up being really, really good. And obviously the Rams on that defensive line are trying to replace one of the best all time. And certainly Jarrett Verse isn't expected to come in and be Aaron Donald, but I think Jarrett Verse can be a really good player for a long time.
Some of the other picks that I like personally from the first round, I like what Miami did with Chop Robinson from Penn State. Get a great edge rusher. I think that guy's going to be electric. Love the Lions pick of Terrion Arnold from Alabama with the 24th pick. What did you think of Kansas City getting yet another offensive skill position player in Xavier Worthy?
I think it's great. I mean, it's again, not that he's going to be Tyreek Hill, but they go get the fastest guy in the draft. And, we'll see what happens with Rashee Rice and how much time he ends up having to miss and suspension, all that type of stuff. But so Worthy, you know, there may be a little bit more pressure on Worthy right away. But once Rice is back, like there's not that pressure on Worthy to be like your number one guy. Obviously, you've got Kelsey, all that. They brought in Hollywood Robinson too. So, they love fast, and they went and got the fastest guy. And for Buffalo, who needs a receiver because mm-hmm. they lost all of theirs, to trade with Kansas City to allow Kansas City to come up and take him. When, again, that's the team, if you're Buffalo, you're competing against and haven't been able to get past is Kansas City. That surprised the heck out of me.
Anything that jumped out at you that you really liked in that first round?
I think there are some great value picks. Like, I think the Vikings getting Dallas Turner where they got him is a great pick. Him going at that pick is great value. The Vikings having to give up the picks they did to move up into that spot, I question. But I think a lot of these defensive guys became great value picks for teams just because everybody was so caught up in offense and especially in the quarterback position. I was surprised in the Raiders' move to go with Brock Bowers. But I think that just became it fell to them. He's too good to pass up at this point.
That's like exactly he's just, what happened.
Yes, we took a tight end early last year, but like this, we feel like this guy is a special talent and he's sitting here. So even though it's not a position of need, we just believe he's way better than everybody else on the board. So we're going to take him. And I don't have a problem with that. You know, the Cowboys did that with Micah Parsons. It's worked out pretty well. They did it somewhat with CD Lamb. That's worked out pretty well. Like sometimes you just look at a guy and go like, he's just too good for us to pass up in this spot.
Okay, so I'm looking into the second round. We'll have the second and the third rounds tonight. The Raiders pick 12th in the second round, which is 44th overall. So could they move up a little bit? They could. Will Rattler, Michael Pratt, I'm not sure how many other quarterbacks are really being considered in that next group after the top six that were selected yesterday. Because the Raiders, I think, will take a quarterback there. And maybe if Rattler's available, I would not be surprised if that's who they take, or they move up to take Rattler. And then you get your quarterback and you happen to have a great tight end fall into your lap. I understand that move completely by the Raiders.
Speaking of the Raiders, Raider Corey texted in on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line. Says, I thought for sure the Chargers would take a stud wide receiver to pair with Herbert. But then later, my Raiders had pick number 13. We needed edge or offensive tackle. Both needs were there, but they chose Bowers, who I love, but it was a luxury pick, in my opinion, since we have a good young tight end. And he says, well, the Patriots did have both Gronk and Hernandez at one point. Well, yes, hopefully Meyer or Bowers does not end up murdering people. That would be helpful.
Odds are low, but always possible.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think either one's going to be, you know, end up murdering people. But the thing is, Bowers' versatility. That thing, like, Bowers is such a guy that you can certainly move around, and like that's why I think it works, because like he's a special talent that can move around and do a lot of different things.
Yeah, but there wasn't a doubt in my mind that Jim Harbaugh was taking an offensive lineman and he was taking a tackle, and that did not surprise me whatsoever. Now, there was also rumors about teams that were inquiring about Justin Herbert, and the Chargers shut that down pretty quickly and said that he was not available. No running backs taken in the first round. We expected that, but it's still weird. It's still strange. The SEC produced 14. Now, I'm counting Texas and Oklahoma. It's 14 of the 32. If you take away Texas and Oklahoma, it's 11. And the Pac-12, which is no more, ended up having a pretty solid first round as far as players selected from teams that were in the conference formerly known as the Pac-12.
Well, if you're counting Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC, you can't count the Pac-12.
Right. That's why I said it was 14 and 11 if you don't count Texas and Oklahoma.
SEC produces football talent. This just in.
Breaking news. You said you didn't watch at all ABC. So no. You didn't hear, and I didn't. I'm just reading about it now. Like I said, I couldn't watch the entire draft, but Nick Saban was on there, and Nick Saban, I heard, and I saw a little bit of Nick Saban, and he was terrific. I mean, he breaks down plays and styles like nobody. I mean, he is really, really good at what he does, but he also was critical of some players as well, including the kid from Georgia. The offensive lineman that was selected. And I don't know.
Mims?
Yeah, Mims. He said something about Mims. I don't know if he said that he quit on his team or, and I'm speculating here, and I shouldn't speculate, but I don't know the entire story. I haven't had a time to really read about it, but I saw that he was getting some crap from people for, you know, calling out the guy. But that's what I want to hear from guys like Belichick or Saban or Lewis Reddick, the guys that have been either coaches or personnel guys in the NFL or in college. I want that. I don't want them to sugarcoat everything and say everybody is great and everything's honky-dory. I want them to be as truthful as possible.
We did have another texter asking if there were any dogs shown, because the over-under was 2. I know there was one, and I don't remember who it wasn't when they were drafted, but they showed the shot like they were just checking in on one, and somebody, one of the ones, like the dog was like right up front, just sitting there like he was posing for the camera. He was like,
was he alone?
Hey everybody, how you doing? I'm here. He was the draft prospect. I don't know. I didn't pay real close attention to the others to see if there were any other dogs. Like that one you could not miss. So I don't know. And I haven't seen the grades out on the weight, like those prop bets, to see whether they're, and I did not see any cats. Yeah, there may have been some. I did not see any cats in any of the shots. Thankfully, these prospects, nobody should have cats anyway.
I have 3 of them.
I've not drafted a guy who has cats in his at his draft party. It shows bad character. So, but
the Cats
are
running away anyway.
I don't know what the final numbers were on Dogs and Cats.
Well, the guys on Fox National, while I was driving to work, they were debating that, and they couldn't. They said it's like we can't even come to the consensus of how many dogs were in the shot. So, how do they do that as far as the prop bets? Well, they go back and they analyze all the video and they look, and it's what you were able to see. I didn't see it at all, but LeVar Arrington was adamant that I think it was J.J. McCarthy. Absolutely, there was a dog.
It might have been his shot. The way they showed. Like I can't. I don't remember who it was.
But it may have been the only
they
one.
Went to the one, and that dog was just sitting right there, like, "Hey, let's go. Let's do this thing. Let's get picked. It's time to get picked. I'm the dog. I'm ready to go. I'm waiting for the phone call. Let's get this draft over with."
I guess that was also a little bit of a surprise because there was talk about McCarthy. Maybe New England really wanted him, and they would trade down, and they would do something. And they end up taking May when it was all said and done. But with the Penix pick, McCarthy goes 5. And I forget what the prop number was for McCarthy going. But most
McCarthy went 10.
Fifth quarterback is what I meant. So McCarthy going that late probably was the over. Because a lot of people thought he would absolutely be the fourth quarterback selected. If not, maybe, surprisingly, the third if New England had done something. But New England stayed with Drake May. I had no idea, and maybe I should have known, that Drake May's brother was Luke May, or is Luke May. I didn't know that for some reason.
I told you yesterday, like one of the prop bets was which highlight would be shown first, Luke May at North Carolina or Marvin Harrison Sr.? Do you think they were just going to show Luke May for the hell of it on the
No,
NFL
but I don't listen to you always, so I don't remember that thoroughly. It was kind of like doing something else, and I didn't pick up Luke May. I thought you said Drake May I thought you said Drake May playing basketball. That's exactly what I thought you said. Like Drake May was some great basketball player as well. I was like, really? Is he a two-way guy? I didn't know that May family. All the brothers, and it was pretty interesting to see that. But no, I had no idea. And Luke came in from Japan, where he's playing professionally, to be there for his brother. That's the youngest of the four May brothers. So I had no idea.
Another texter says, what do you think about the Chargers taking Alt? You know, I mean, you can't go wrong with a monster offensive lineman.
I love that pick.
And he's out of Notre Dame. The Notre Dame offensive linemen have tended to fare pretty well in the NFL.
And the offensive linemen grayed out, right? We went over those numbers yesterday. The offensive linemen normally are hits, not misses. And so I love the Joe Alt pick. And Tennessee did exactly what we thought they would do, is go with whoever was available between Latham and Alt at number 7. And they end up getting J.C. Latham, who is, again, a mountain of a man. So I think you can't go wrong with offensive linemen that are picked. And I don't think you can go wrong, folks, in attending Smoke Slam. What is Smoke Slam? It's, well, when you combine barbecue and the competition that's going on down by the river, a beautiful venue, music, and good times for all. Smoke Slam, the world's ultimate barbecue showdown, May 16th through the 18th in Tom Lee Park, right on the river in downtown Memphis. We're putting the festival back in BBQ. More than 50 teams competing for the largest cash purse in barbecue history, live music from the likes of Tone Loc and Rob Bass, Young MC, War, The Barquets, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, a fan-first experience like no other, celebrity chef live cooking demos, and indulge in mouth-watering barbecue samples from the greatest pitmasters in the country. That is what I like. I remember when I first went to the old barbecue fest, when I first moved to Memphis, walked around, I didn't know anybody. And if you're an outsider, you weren't a part of it. Well, now it's a whole different story. Fireworks every night, carnivals with a Ferris wheel, carousel, games, so you bring the entire family. Single day general admission tickets, only $25. And a 3-day general admission pass is only $65. Go to smokeslam.com for more details and tickets. Again, Smokeslam, May 16th through the 18th. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Be sure to follow us at Sports 56 WHBQ on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube to watch live video of our shows, stay up to date with station events, and have chances to win prizes. Don't miss out on anything that's going on.
follow us at Sports56WHBQ. Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Don't you just love it?
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Shout out to all our great sponsors like James Gattis Jewelers and Jenkins Floors and More. And they invite you to their retail warehouse where they pass wholesale savings on to you. Jenkins Floors in Hernando, Little Rock, and Cleveland, Mississippi specialize in flooring and carpeting, tile, plantation shutters, blinds, and so much more. And they make your life easy. A two-week turnaround. Contractors, builders, or family projects, you need to call Jenkins Floors and More, 662-469-9350 for a free estimate. They'll come to your home, they'll come to your business, and they will give you that free estimate. They will show you the samples and what it will look like. Owners Timmy and Rebecca Jenkins say hello to Sports 56 fans and look forward to your business, Jenkins Floors and More.
One other thing on the draft. The way they set up the green room now, the little living rooms they give the guys.
Yeah.
It's very nice. It's a comfortable little setup they got now.
You can live there.
You don't have just a little table. Like, now you got, like, you're basically, you can do what you want to do. Like, you got a whole setup. The other thing, though, why do people need to wear sunglasses so much inside? What is the deal with sunglasses being worn inside?
What is the deal with sunglasses?
By so many people.
Huh? That's part of the fit. Like,
right.
Like, the glasses match the fit. It matched the coolness of the fit.
So it's just to look cool?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's okay. All about the look.
It's just the look. That's all it is.
I just don't understand it.
Well, it's interesting because it seems like the walk from the green room to the stage gets longer and longer every year.
No, it's a mile and a half.
Well, first of all, they get up. Okay, they get the phone call. Now they start to celebrate. All right, so now they're hugging and they're kissing. And they're shaking hands with other people. There's the agent over there. Oh, there's a couple of teammates. Or there's the coach. Now there's friends or guys they've played against. Now they get to the hallway. Now they go down that hallway, which was forever. Then they get to a place where there's a mirror and the hats. They're given the hat. Now they got to look to see that the hat looks cool on the head.
Make sure the sunglasses look cool.
Sunglasses look cool. Then they still got to walk some more before they finally can see people out there, 150,000 strong, get on the stage, and then go ahead and greet Roger Goodell. Who was the lineman who crushed Roger Goodell, by the way? Roger Goodell has a bad back, I heard. And
I don't remember who it was that picked him up.
Was it the Hawaiian guys were in Hawaii, weren't they?
I think they make the walk so long because that allows the jersey person to get the name on the jersey while they're doing the walk, and then they got the jersey ready for them when they pop out.
That was
Latham.
That was Fuaga.
Oh, that's who it was?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I thought it was like pro wrestling or something. That guy was going to pick him up and slam Goodell down. Goodell probably has no bones this morning. He's all jelly.
Yeah, I think my theory is that they make that walk longer just to give the jersey guy enough time. Jersey guy's like, hey, we put them way back there. Like, give me a few minutes of them just walking here, and I'll have this jersey ready for you without a problem.
You know, stuff like that amazes me because they do that and we're almost in the Triple Crown season, right? The Kentucky Derby will be a week from tomorrow, the first Saturday in May, the Run for the Roses. But the Preakness, the second leg, the guy's etching in the winner as they're killing time right after the races. Like, he starts doing that stuff. Man, these guys are good at what they do. You know, things like One Shining Moment. You're adding and you're editing all those plays. Now, it used to be a little bit better where they would add some of that earlier in the sequence, but now it's all wait, you know, they have it all the way set up and then they just pound in some shots there at the end. It's a little bit easier, but it's still, you know, you're rushing to get it done.
Like the Jersey guy,
the finished product.
Jersey guy loves, he wants more Joe Alts.
Oh yeah.
He's like, give me that three letter name.
Yeah.
Hey, he can have a short walk. Hey guys, he can have a short walk. It's fine. I got his jersey. This jersey will be taken care of in a heartbeat. But some of these other names.
Oh, he had some tough names.
He's like, oh my gosh, this is a rough one.
Well, how many times did he probably have to go back to, how does that guy spell his name now?
He's just lucky he didn't have to spell Fashanu's first name, because if he had to spell it, that dude, like, he would have been that. He would have been like, dude, somebody stall. Please tackle that man in the hallway for me for a second, because I have no idea how to get this name correct.
I'll be curious to find out, and we'll probably find out sometime today, how the NFL. Oh, go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, no, I want to make a correction. It was actually Latham that picked
that's
up.
That's what I. Yeah, I thought it was. I thought it was Latham.
Because you could see, you could hear all the gas out of everyone. It was like, oh wait, oh hey.
I think I heard bones break.
Is he going to throw Roger Goodell into the stand of the crowd?
Dude, Latham. I knew he was big, but my God, is he big? So, yeah. So I'll be curious to see when the television ratings come out. And how the draft did, or how the NBA playoffs did versus the draft. I would imagine the draft will be a lot more than the NBA playoff games. But you also, I mean, you got to figure, how do they break it down? Because you got the draft on ABC, you got the draft on ESPN, you got other outlets where you have the draft. Obviously, there were three games last night in the NBA playoffs, but the numbers, I'll be curious to see. How they come out.
Spoiler alert, draft killed them.
Well, I figured that, but by how much? Because there are some people that actually don't care about the draft. I do. I love the draft. I love the NBA draft. I love the NFL draft. Not so much the baseball draft, which goes for 8,000 rounds.
I learned something yesterday. I did not. My buddy Howard Balzer, who was a part of the first televised draft on ESPN.
What year?
ESPN started 79, I think it was.
So maybe a little earlier, 77?
And they were 80, I think it was. I think it was 79, 80. I think it was okay. ESPN started 79, so they did the draft at 80. But the Vince Papale was one of the guys. He was, it was Balzer, Kuiper, Papale, and I don't remember who the fourth guy was. Like, I had no idea that Vince Papale was one of the guys on the first TV draft.
I had no idea either. You're absolutely right.
Which he'll be here Sunday, and I got to find him before the game and ask about. I think Vince Papale only did 1 year. Howard, I think, did 8 years of it before he was out, and then of course Kuiper emerged as the star of it all. But yeah, Vince Papale was one of the guys.
I was just starting college in 80. I remember all the drafts well. I remember Balzer very, very well. I do not remember Vince Papale at all. You were right. 1980, first NFL televised draft. And boy, has that come a long way in the last 44 years.
And Balzer said, like, they literally, like, they called him, like, it's like, wanted it. What was they called him? They wanted to use his mock draft during the air. And
that's how it started.
And he was like, well, what happens when it, like, goes to hell? Like, he's like, how? Then they were going to just have him on the phone, like, as part of, like, just a little bit of coverage for the draft, like, to, if after picks were made, like after the first few picks or whatever, then kind of talk about what might be coming up. And then all of a sudden he said, like, they were like, how about we just televise the draft? And they had him come in. He said, like, they literally didn't even have production meetings. Like, they just threw these guys up there. And there was a coffee table and four chairs, and they were just all there. That was it. Like, it was just them talking as picks happen. And now we see this unbelievably massive production, network after network, 150,000 people in attendance. Like, it's just insane to think how far the NFL draft has come.
Your memory is very good. September 7th, 1979. ESPN went on the air for the first time, and you're right, the first draft was in 1980. Well, I want to congratulate our good friend, Becky Dinstall, as last night she was named the president of the 2024 AutoZone Liberty Bowl. She has been one of the people on the committee, but now she is the prez. So when you see Becky over at Dinstall's, make sure that you address her as the president. Congratulations to Becky. And speaking of Dinstall's, they are celebrating Administrative Professionals Week with sweet treats for your office staff. Think about the workers, the co-workers, right? Your employees. The chocolate-covered strawberries, $10 off through Saturday while they last. And they will go fast, folks. Other gifts are also available in all five locations. Make sure to say thank you to your staff this week with Dinstall's Fine Candies and Chocolates. They've been producing those delectables for over 122 years. Laurelwood, Germantown, Collierville, downtown Memphis, and where they make the candies in Pleasant View or on Pleasant View Road, it is Dinstall's Fine Candies and Chocolates. And again, congratulations to Becky Dinstall.
Let me correct. It was the four guys on the set. It was Kuiper was not part of it. It was Bob Lee, Howard Balzer, Vince Papale, and Upton Bell. Just four guys sitting there, and the picture's great. Like, it's, they got literally like the behind them, the team pennants hanging on the wall. They got a coffee table.
A lot of money put into that set.
There's a coffee table with just papers spread everywhere, and they're just sitting there in chairs. Just, that was the draft. That was the television coverage of that draft in 1980 to get this all started.
I'm not familiar with Upton Bell. Are you?
No, he was a former Patriots general manager.
Okay.
And the son of former NFL commissioner Burt Bell.
Oh, wow. That's going way back. Of course, Tom Jackson for years, Chris Berman for years involved. But they did do a real nice dedication last night. At least I saw it on, this was on ESPN, because I was watching ESPN before the draft started with Greenberg, right? He was the ESPN. He was not ABC, right?
Greenberg was at ESPN.
Yeah, and they did a nice tribute to Chris Mortensen. I thought that was well done. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, yeah, there were other things happening in the world of sports last night, like the NBA playoffs. We'll talk about that when we return. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
We are Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 WHBQ. Available on your radio dial at 560 AM. And 98.5 FM, as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, stay tuned in to Real Sports Talk. Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
To reveal the full spectrum of its dazzling color.
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Folks, if you are in the market for a new roof, you got problems with your roof, you need either roof repairs or a new roof, you're looking for a reputable company, you want to keep money in the local economy, Pinnacle Roofing and Restoration is the place for you. Locally owned and operated. You can call Brandon McCullough, the owner of the company, at 901-438-5084. They'll come out and do a free roof estimate. NewRoofMemphis.com is the website. They offer financing with different plans and options to choose from, including a 6, 12, or 18-month same as cash option. They'll work with your insurance company or out of pocket, whatever it takes. They do residential and commercial roofing. So not only homeowners, but business owners and property managers. Again, if you have a leak or any other roofing problem, call Pinnacle today. Pinnacle is licensed, bonded, and insured, and a member of the Better Business Bureau. You get a 5-year labor warranty on the purchase of a new roof. All their work satisfaction guarantee. That includes carpentry work, exterior painting. They can replace gutters, put up fencing, siding, rotten wood repair, install shingles. Whatever you can't do yourself, call the experts at Pinnacle Roofing and Restoration. Quality work at a very reasonable price. For all your roofing and home repair needs, Pinnacle Roofing and Restoration.
Harold Grader texts in. He said that maybe the guys have a sponsorship deal with the sunglass company.
That's a possibility. Although, can you tell what type of sunglasses they are?
I can never tell.
Can you tell they're Oakley's or Gucci or whatever?
I'm not in the sunglass world. I do not wear my sunglasses at night, nor do I wear them indoors.
Have you never made an appearance at the sunglasses hut?
I never have.
In a kiosk near you?
Because I wear glasses. So it would be hard for me to then go get some of these fashionable sunglasses to wear inside. But they could be, certainly could be a sponsorship deal for some of those guys.
Yeah, I lean more towards what Zach said. It's a fashion statement, but it could be both.
Yeah, I think they just want to look cool.
They want to look cool. Last night, the Denver Nuggets won again over the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers, they got to be hating Denver. The fans certainly hate Denver. Last year, Denver swept them in the Western Conference Finals, And now in the first round of the NBA playoffs, Denver leads 3-0. After winning 2 over the Lakers at home, they go to Los Angeles. Once again, the Lakers get a double-digit lead. They blew a 20-point lead in Game 2 in Denver. Last night, they had a 12-point lead at one point. But Denver just, they're too good. This one was over before it started. I'm talking about the series. 112-105, Denver wins. Aaron Gordon, tremendous. 29 points, 15 rebounds. They got 24 from Jokic to go along with 15 rebounds and 9 assists. 22 from Jamal Murray, 20 from Michael Porter Jr. And then with the Lakers, it's the dynamic duo again. It's Davis and LeBron going for 59 total points, 21 rebounds combined, and 12 assists, but not nearly enough to hold off the hard-charging defending champions.
Yeah, I mean, it was just an awful, awful shooting night for both teams. It's really crazy because it's a very rare box score that you will see where the two teams shot the exact same from the field. Both teams 44 of 90 from the field.
That is strange.
Denver 5 of 28 from 3. LA 5 of 27 from 3. So they both made the same amount of threes, just one attempt different. Literally, the game was won at the free throw line. Denver made 7 more free throws. That's it. There's your 7 points. Everything else was identical. Brutal shooting for both teams. D'Angelo Russell, yikes. The Ofer, the donut, 0 points, 0-7. You know, because they got, like, again, Rui Hachimura, he's not playing the Grizzlies, so you can just count him out. He's not going to play well. but they got Austin Reeves to step up in this one. But then it's like either Reeves or Russell's had a good game. They can't get both guys together. Reeves has the good game. Russell has just an absolute nightmare of a game. And if you're going to beat Denver, you're going to need all of those guys stepping up to help. And if you can't beat Denver on your home floor when they go 5 of 28 from three-point range, yeah, it's going to be tough to beat them.
Yeah, I agree with you. You need all those guys and need support from the bench. And Reeves, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals is a real solid stat line. But as you mentioned, Russell, a donut, and he only throws in 2 assists. So basically, he was doing nothing out there. That's 24 minutes of nothing. And from the bench, they got 8 from Dinwiddie. They got 7 from Torian Prince. But not nearly enough when you're going up against a Denver team that you know that starting 5 is going to be awesome. And they don't need a lot from the bench. And they didn't get a lot from the bench. But Denver, needless to say, 3-0. Denver seems like the kind of team, all teams would say they want to get it done as quick as they can so they can get some rest. I think Denver's going to go out there and prove that. Now, will the Lakers roll over? Not LeBron. LeBron doesn't roll over. But Denver probably will end this thing in a sweep because they want that time to rest and relax and get ready for round 2.
A texter on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener says, in my opinion, under no circumstances should any basketball team have D'Angelo Russell anywhere near their organization. He is a gutless wonder. Man.
Gutless wonder. What is his contract situation, Zach, if you can find that?
Gutless wonder is a strong term. Listen, D'Angelo's got a lot of talent, and he can have those games where he can be great.
He's too inconsistent.
But he can also have games like last night where he is an absolute train wreck. And yeah, I don't think he is I don't think he is a great piece to winning basketball teams. I will say that. Yeah, I would not want D'Angelo Russell. I would not want to be counting on D'Angelo Russell if I'm trying to win an NBA title.
What? He has a player option for next season at $18 million.
So player option for the next season. Wasn't that part of the conversation over the summer? Would they move Russell? Could they find a willing partner?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it never happened. I'm not going to put all the blame on them. I'm not going to go as far as the texter saying he's gutless, but he's a problem because he's not consistent. Yes, every once in a while he throws up a game and you go, wow, I knew he was capable of doing that. And then 2 more games after that, it's just maybe not a donut, but it's not what you need from your point guard.
I don't know. Again, gutless wonder, strong term. I don't think he has a lot of dog in him. I'll say that. You know, he's not a guy that I want. I don't want him in the foxhole with me. Mm-hmm. He'll have some games where he could. I mean, again, he's very talented. But his career has not matched what his talent should. And again, he's just not one of those guys that I want to rely on to try and win big games.
Well, the only thing that's important is what does LeBron think? With a player option, he's going to opt in. He's not doing a Yuta Watanabe with $18 million owed to him. So he's going to opt in. You're not going to get – well, I mean, could you deal him with the last year of his deal? At $18 million, maybe becomes an interesting trade chip at the trade deadline. But it's all about LeBron. LeBron goes in there to ownership and says, come on, we need much better at that position. Then they'll do something. But this has to be really frustrating for LeBron, who at 39, he'll be 40, this fall, is still playing at this high a level? All right, we'll talk about the other games from last night, preview the games coming up tonight, when we open up hour number three.
Guns, guns, guns. When it comes to guns, when it comes to firearms, the place to go here in Memphis, that would be Classic Arms, located on Germantown Parkway, 1740 Germantown Parkway. It's right behind the Corky's there on Germantown Parkway, that shopping center there, right there tucked in behind Corky's. That's where you'll find Classic Arms. You can also find them online, where you can shop 24/7 at classicarmsofmemphis.com. They have all of the top brand names, so whether you're looking for self-defense guns, whether you're looking for hunting guns, whatever it is you're looking for, whether you're looking for guns, whether you're looking for gun accessories and supplies, they have everything you need at Classic Arms. They've got, of course, new guns, but they also have used guns. They buy, they sell, they trade. They do it all at Classic Arms. They are the only gun importer here in the Mid-South. They will do free gun inspections. They do free gun appraisals. They do free bore sighting. They do all of that, and they have the guaranteed lowest prices in town. Again, it's Classic Arms, 1740 Germantown Parkway, right behind Corky's, or online at classicarmsofmemphis.com.
You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.